Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Wanted to read to you from Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is one of the greatest verses in the Bible because it speaks to us no matter where we are in life. It lets us know that there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. That's a direct quote from my guest, June Hunt. June Hunt is the founder of Hope for the Heart, a worldwide biblical resource ministry. She has counseled people from all over the world since she began this ministry in 1986. June, it's such a pleasure to have you here.
Well, I love being back with you. I am always excited when I go, oh my goodness, I'm driving my car and I'm hearing Jeff. Yes, this is wonderful.
So June was on the program, I think it was probably a year ago or so, and maybe a little less than that, but my heart just connected with hers as we just talked mostly about your life and how the Lord worked in you and brought you to faith in Christ and brought you to a place of forgiveness with your dad as you had that bad relationship. I told you, and I'm not ashamed to say this, but I told you that I just connected. I was watching you, and we were doing it through Zoom, and I just said, I told you off air, I said, June, I would just, from a dad, I would just love to grab that little girl that was hurt so badly as a young child growing up, just hold her and just tell her how much I love her and that God loves her and just give her the love that you didn't get and you really needed that as a little girl.
You know, when you said those words, it was perhaps the most tender words I could have ever heard, and no one has ever said that to me, but it is so precious because, you know, you grow up in a family, you have no choice. None of us have a choice.
Right.
And so, no matter what the experience is, it can be painful, but God will use that pain for a purpose. And obviously, you have a very tender sensitivity, and I appreciated that.
Oh, you're sweet. So, the new book is out. It's called Conflict Resolution, Solving Your People Problems. I think that everybody can relate to that. I was told in a marriage conference that the definition of conflict is two people. That's probably
good.
About right, isn't it?
Well, you know, there are some people who say, oh, well, if you have problems, then there's just sin in your life. No, I mean, Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And that's John 16:33. And the reason that's important is we know at times there will be people we will be with where there'll be disagreements, there'll be struggles, there can be battles. Wars are over conflict, but it's over opposing issues. And so it's interesting, as a pastor, you periodically will look at the Greek word or the Hebrew word. And the Greek for conflict is A-G-O-N, from which we get the word agony.
Right.
Agony. And we can have agonizing situations, and therefore we need to know, what do you do when you're not wanting to have conflict? Most people don't want conflict, but clearly there are those who promote conflict by virtue of their choices in life.
Well, you talk in the book, not to get too far ahead, but I love this. You have attackers and avoiders.
Absolutely.
When it comes to a conflict, because you're not going to get around. You're going to have conflict in life.
Yeah.
Can't get around it. So let's talk a little bit about the people that seem to enjoy it. they're attackers, and then the people that run from it, the avoiders.
I was the run from it person, that type of person. Actually, I decided I would do something unusual. We need to understand the problem with both of these styles of attackers and avoiders is neither solve the problem. In other words, it doesn't resolve conflicts, but only causes conflicts. To be an attacker will cause conflict. And it's not a solution to just avoid it. So just for a picture, I began to think about creation, our creator created different kinds of creatures. The wolf. If we talk about three kinds of attackers, these are aggressive attackers. This would be first the dictator. The wolf type person demands absolute power, insisting on complete autocratic control. And we're talking about an authoritative person who would be combative at times, rigid, not interested in listening with an open mind, disrespectful, criticizing people, cutting them down, aggressive. And the message is, you give in to me or I'll attack you. Mm-hmm. And their goal is to feel powerful. Mm-hmm. The reason I call them wolves is Jesus warned us, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but they inwardly are ferocious wolves. Mm-hmm. So you see, Jesus called them wolves. Mm-hmm. Now, I would say I had that growing up in terms of a father. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, okay, immediately a picture came to my mind. There were six of us in a car driving to Love Field Airport in Dallas. And my dad was driving. I was in the middle of the back seat. And all of a sudden, I hear and feel, it's like, in other words, he was scraping the car, not just bumping, not a scratch. I couldn't believe it. It felt like it went on forever. Mm-hmm. And I looked back, and there was a man getting out of his car, of course, expecting us to stop. Dad just kept going. Just kept going. Mm-hmm. He was like a law unto himself. Mm-hmm. I just was stunned. And this man, I look back, and the man got smaller and smaller in the rear view, mm-hmm. my rear view look. Jeff, I thought, nobody confronts my dad. Mm-hmm. Nobody challenges. No one said a word. And so in the back seat, middle seat, I whispered, hit and run, hit and run. Mm-hmm. I remember doing it twice. Nobody said a word. Nobody did it. And we got to the airport. It was as though nothing happened. Mm-hmm. Now, a wolf kind of person, mm-hmm. that type of person, they feel that they can treat people or things in any way they want to.
Okay, so your dad, extremely successful.
Yes.
I mean, everything he touches turns to gold.
Yep.
Risk taker. He was able to do a lot of things. I mean, a lot of people would look up to him and say, that's who I want to be. Mm-hmm. Did he have anybody in his life that challenged him, or was everybody a yes man?
I never saw anyone confront him. I was the only one who confronted him, and that did not go well because...
Yeah, he penalized you.
Yeah, he beat me. But then it just wore out, and then I got sent away to boarding school, then got sent away to camp. And, you know, just being sent away is, you know, just feel totally rejected.
Right.
And so...
And your mom had no way to...
She was 28 years younger. And I say that because there was an imbalance of power. Mm-hmm. I did want to know, was he ethical in business, even though his lifestyle of women and all this infidelity, I knew that part. Of course, that's all behind closed doors. Most people
didn't
see.
Know that.
Well, I don't know what they knew, but at least...
Right.
But in business, as I understand it, never did he compartmentalized. Mm-hmm. He would be ethical in business. But this, it's like he was his own God. He was the one who would make up his laws. Mm-hmm. And obviously, if we need to get to the airport, what was more important to him was you get to the airport. And
right.
Even if you're, you know, literally supposed to stop and do what would be right, you know, file a insurance claim or something.
Right.
But the point is, I grew up with a wolf. Yeah. And I understand that. Now, there are different kinds. There's the snake. The snake is the one who strikes when you're not looking. And they are the backbiters. They are the ones who criticize with put-downs. They can start false rumors. They pretend nothing's wrong. Mm-hmm. And the message is basically, don't cross me or you'll regret it. Mm-hmm. And their goal is to feel superior. And Jesus, again.
More the backstabber kind of people.
Mm-hmm. Jesus said, you brood of vipers. Mm-hmm. Well, a viper is a snake. You know, how can you who are evil say anything good? So we see two kinds. The wolf as an attacker, the snake as an attacker. And then, even mentioned in the Bible, is hornets. Hornet-type people attack others with persistence, persistent questions, constant criticism. You know, you've heard about a swarm of hornets. They will go to others. They pull others into their disagreements. And this happens to pastors. Mm-hmm. And you would know certain times at when they'll, behind your back, do things like this. And they'll, it's like, don't get on my bad side or I'll attack your reputation. Mm-hmm. And so they can make negative comments about everything. Blame others. When we look at what they do, they do harm. Mm. A swarm of hornets can kill a cow, a huge animal, and it's just, but that they're very destructive. Mm-hmm. Now, I was not an attacker. We have three kinds of avoiders. Mm-hmm. The turtle, the chameleon, and the weasel. Now, turtles, they withdraw and from anything that seems difficult, dangerous, disagreeable. They're retreaters. They literally withdraw from conflicts and they seek secrecy. They can play dumb, just trying to avoid anything. And it's like, don't confront me. It won't do any good. That's their message. But their goal is to be safe. Mm-hmm. Safe. Well, it's hard to feel safe when you're with an attacker. The chameleon, I was kind of a combination maybe of the chameleon and the weasel. The chameleon kind of changes colors. What do you want me to be? What color? You want me to be green or yellow or, you know. The point of this is they avoid making decisions. They appear agreeable because they don't want conflict. Mm-hmm. They downplay differences. As I'm nice to you, you must be nice to me too. Well, their goal is to be accepted. And I live fear-based. For years, I knew it. I didn't appear that way, but I was. And yet the Bible says fear of man will prove to be a snare. Proverbs 29:25. And the last one is the weasel. I also was a weasel. I would try to use weasel words. You're smiling.
Well, hold that thought, June, and when we come back from the break, we'll discuss more. We're talking to June Hunt. The book is called Conflict Resolution, Solving Your People Problems. It is a read that will help you in relationships. We'll be right back.
This This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to June Hunt, the founder of Hope for the Heart. She has a new book out, Conflict Resolution, Solving Your People Problems. And so, June, we were talking right before the break. You have attackers in a conflict, and you have avoiders. And so you mentioned the three kinds of attackers, the wolves, the snakes, and the hornets. None of those are good. Mm-hmm. And then you have the avoiders, tortoises, chameleons, and weasels. Mm-hmm. Those don't sound good either.
Mm-mm. No. In truth, I didn't tell the truth, because if I dealt with the truth, then that at times conflict with my dad. And I think we all just try to
keep
get along,
right.
get along, do anything to keep the peace. So I would twist the truth, bend the truth, but I never thought of myself as lying. Mm-hmm. And I later thought about it. I was in survival growing up. And the problem is, if we continue on with these patterns in adulthood, mm-hmm. see, you can't help what you got early on, but you can evaluate, is this right in God's sight? And no, it's not right for me to use weasel words with people. I had a friend who was excellent. I was a youth director. She was a youth director, but she would say to me, June, cut it straight. And I hated those words, but she was right. I mean, in fact, it convicted me, even though I didn't want to hear it, because I got into a pattern in early adulthood of just trying to say anything that would appease a person, sometimes I think, well, I didn't really need to say that. Mm-hmm. Now, and by the way, 90 years ago, I was teaching on lying. 93% of the public regularly lies. Mm-hmm. Then I taught it another 15 years later, and I thought, I wonder if that statistic I can find, and I found it, except it wasn't 93%. 94% of the public regularly lies. Mm-hmm. This was a secular entity,
right.
A secular survey. And so it's like, I'm not going to be, the message I was trying to live with is, I'm not going to be pinned down. I'm because I knew what it was like to feel trapped by my dad. And they can easily just sidestep issues and avoid taking responsibility for problems. And it's like, okay, I need to not live to not be pinned down. I must not live to say, you have to make me feel confident.
Mm-hmm.
No, the Bible says that our confidence comes from Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And it so helped when I began to learn about our identity in Christ. So what I'm saying is, in life, we're going to see these types, and they're not healthy. So that's why we have conflicts that continue on where we're not helping solve the problem.
Now, in marriage, June, you typically have an attacker marrying an avoider.
Mm-hmm.
You probably wouldn't have two attackers together, would you?
I've seen it when it's that way, and it's quite an explosive marriage.
Yeah, because your mom was an avoider.
My mom was, yes, absolutely.
But if your dad were married to someone like himself, that would probably end in murder.
Yeah, well, and you know that some marriages do end in murder. That is actually true, literally.
Yeah.
That's why our family, again, we did not counter him, because it wouldn't do any good.
Right.
For him.
Okay, let me
And
ask.
By the way, he's an atheist, you understand.
Right.
So this is not a man.
He's not a Christian.
Had yielded his will to the Lord. And I did learn later, I learned that my dad's father would beat his mother, meaning
your grandmother.
Yeah, my grandmother. And then the kids would scatter and run and try to get to a relative's home, and if they couldn't make it, they would sleep on a church pew. When I was told that, years after my father died, I said, well, I had never heard that. Mm-hmm. I went to my brother. Have you heard that? No. None of us, but he never ever even talked about his childhood growing up, which is unnatural. Mm-hmm. Men like to talk about their dads.
Sure.
Even if it's tough, it's hard and tough and
right.
and difficult, but they especially like to talk about what it was like growing up.
So if you could knowing what you know now, mm-hmm. you go back in time, mm-hmm. you're a 12-year-old girl living in that house. How do you do things differently than you did?
I had no skills to know how to deal, because I had some good uncles. Now, boy, that was huge. So if you're an uncle and listening right now, do you realize the power that you have in a child's life, especially if there's a wolf as a parent? There are some things that you can do, and I think this is important to understand. What do you do? I did not have the skills, but what I would say is, if you are in a relationship with a wolf, do not interrupt them when they're communicating.
Okay.
Find something that is a genuine, authentic compliment. It could be something they've done right, mm-hmm. and just say, but it's not complimenting their clothes,
right.
not external.
Something about their character.
It's something, yes. You know, I really thought what you said here was meaningful. Mm-hmm. They got to hear that you don't think that they're all bad. Mm-hmm. Don't get into lengthy arguments. And I'll tell you one thing that helped. I learned this from my sister, who was the most combative toward me in my adulthood. She would have been my adult wolf. And she was a younger sister, but she was smart as a whip, all these things. And one day she said to me, she lived in another state, and we cancel out each other's votes. You know, there's a whole okay. lifestyle that we're very, right. very different. And she's not a believer. No. She wanted me to select where we could go for dinner. She said, you pick and you decide where we'll have dinner. I said, just whatever you want. And I kept saying, she said, no, I want to know what you want. And so finally she said, I can't stand it when you keep deferring to me. And I was shocked. And I had to learn a principle with a wolf. Match strength with strength. Mm-hmm. Match strength with strength. And I thought, okay, like if you put yourself down, meaning maybe you're trying to be humble.
Self-deprecating.
Okay, they don't like that at all. They will not respect that. Mm-hmm. Now, there are others who could respect and be compassionate. Mm-hmm. But that's not a wolf. So match strength with strength, hold your ground, but non-combatively. Mm-hmm. Avoid arguments. You're not going to win. And so that would be for the wolf. Mm-hmm. Now for the snake, you need to go on and catch him in a lie. Don't just say, oh well, you know, that's just the way it is. No. But be aware of their power to destroy. So you enlist someone else to come with you and confront. The Bible mm-hmm. says...
Yeah, Matthew 18.
Matthew 18 is important. If you talk to them and they refuse, then you take two or three others with you. Mm-hmm. So, and that's biblical confrontation. And expect for them to deny whatever they've done wrong. But don't let them get away with just an attack. Mm-hmm. You walk away, but it's not out of weakness, it's out of strength. And again, confront when you need to confront. And then the hornet, don't Don't let them get into this unhealthy conversation, because they'll want to attack, mm-hmm. attack, and get others with them. And so don't you confront their game playing, but you encourage to really look for solutions when there's a problem. But there will be complaints. Don't give in to those complaints. And the Bible even says, and this was one of the first scriptures I ever memorized, Ephesians 5:29, do not let any unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but only such a word is helpful for building others up according to the need of the moment, that it might give grace to those who hear. So be aware of the power, the positive power of your words. Don't go negative. Be sure that we are being able to say, okay, I recognize this person that I'm, my attacker has an unmet need, and Lord, I'm willing for you to give me wisdom. Please give me wisdom to know how to interact, or at times you need to separate for the right reason.
Right. Well, you talk about in the book, June, I think about Ephesians 4:32, you were talking about Ephesians 4:29. So be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. You talk about the difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. I think sometimes people get those confused. So explain the difference.
That is excellent. Years ago, I wrote a book called How to Forgive When You Don't Feel Like It. And a critic, I'm talking about a literary critic, contacted me. He said, I write critiques on books. He said, I am stunned. He said, I did not expect. This book changed my life. And I'm thinking, in what way? He said, I assumed that if I forgave, I would have to reconcile. I just assumed if you forgive, then you're supposed to reconcile with that person. And he said, in my situation, I could not possibly forgive because I couldn't reconcile.
Right.
And he said, you said, no, they're two different things. They're two different issues. Reconciliation requires two people. Forgiveness is one way.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to even tell the person you're forgiving them. Sometimes you don't tell them, because I did that once and the person was offended that I had anything to forgive them for. So I just got that question last week from teaching. But reconciliation is with two or more people. Now, the Bible says, do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? I love this scripture because it's in this tiny little book, short, Amos, A-M-O-S, Amos in the Bible, chapter 3. So it's easy to remember, Amos 3:3.
Yeah.
Do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? Well, there are people who will not, they will not, no matter what you say, they're not going to reconcile. And so, let's be specific here. In the case of domestic violence, if there is not repentance on the person who has caused the violence, then the Bible says, and this is important, in Proverbs 22:24, we read, do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered. So there are times when there has to be a decision for a period of time, I need to not be around this person who's going to physically cause harm. And if you think, well, isn't that a little drastic? Well, the Bible in Proverbs 19:19 says, a hot-tempered man must pay the penalty. If you rescue him, you'll have to do it again. In other words, it's just going to be a cycle of abuse, which is not helpful at all. So there are times most of the time, it could be good to consider reconciliation. But in certain situations, it would not be advisable. You're a dad.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a daughter?
Three,
okay. And you find out, here's this wonderful couple who were willing to care for your children while you and your wife had to be someplace else. And then you later find out, here's this man is a pedophile.
Yeah.
Now, you, it
I
would
might
be
go to
wrong.
Prison, June.
You will not reconcile with that man to be in your home like you once had, or you're not going to let that situation continue on. The bottom line, so we have to be wise about, there are times when, no, we don't. The Bible says bad company corrupts good character.
Right.
So you would not put your children, your daughters, in harm's way again.
Right, for sure. Well, the book is called Conflict Resolution, Solving Your People Problems. The author is June Hunt from Hope for the Heart. And June, I think this is a book that everybody needs to get a copy of. It's not a long read, but it's a very practical, helpful read. And it gives hope to people that are struggling in poor marriages and poor family situations. It gives you a game plan, so to speak, of how do I do this? How do I navigate these waters and do it in a way that would be pleasing to the Lord? And God does care. And I just want to repeat this, what you said, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. That's just such a great quote. Well, June, you're a favorite of mine, and thank you so much for coming on the program today.
I feel so blessed to be with you. Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you.
We'll be right back after the break. According to a recent report, Planned Parenthood continues to rake in billions despite dwindling clients. The biggest takeaway here is that Planned Parenthood is generating vast profits, including millions in taxpayer funding. And preborn, that's you and me, are stealing their clientele, meaning the babies they're trying to kill. Preborn operates on a very slim budget as they rescue over 200 babies' lives every single day, and they receive no government funding. Preborn's network of clinics are situated in the darkest corners, competing head-to-head with the abortion giants, and they need our help now more than ever. When you donate $28 to Preborn, you will offer a free ultrasound to an expectant mother caught in crisis. Once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life, her baby's chances at life doubles. So please sponsor a precious baby's life. Your tax-deductible gift will go directly towards saving babies' lives, so be generous. You will never regret saving a baby's life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here live. That interview that you just listened to with June Hunt, such a sweet and wonderful lady, was recorded at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. We recorded that on Thursday, I believe, and so we put that together for you for today. I came back from the National Religious Broadcasters Convention that was all last week, came back on Friday evening, and Saturday at, 2 o'clock, I was getting sick, and that night had high fever, and ended up going to the emergency medical clinic Sunday afternoon because my fever got up to about 104.7. So anyway, diagnosed with flu A. Flu A is no joke. I figure it's better than getting flu B. If you're going to get a flu, get the one that has the A marked to it. Just a little joke there. Anyway, hopefully getting a little bit better. So this is my first day back in the saddle. And Glad to be with you. We're going to open the phone lines at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. The things she was talking about, they're so important. Conflict resolution, solving your people problems. Every single one of us has people problems because, as I shared earlier, what is the definition of conflict? The most basic definition is two people. You put two people together in a marriage, in a family, roommate situation, you are going to have conflict because we're fallen creatures, and we rub each other raw sometimes, and so dealing with conflict is very, very important. And I just wanted to say, so June had a table there at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. She has a ton of wonderful resources. So this little book, Conflict Resolution, Solving Your People Problems, it's only about 72 pages, well, a little more than that, 80-something pages. But it's a short read. It's a very quick read. It's very practical. And she has lots of books that deal with forgiveness, with conflict, with anxiety and fears and all these different emotions that we feel. And she has had her program, Hope for the Heart, since 1986. And so I would encourage you to go online and look at some of these resources that you can get, because you could devour a book like this in probably about an hour and get some good tools to handle difficult situations. So it was a joy to get to interview her, and her background is very, very interesting, and just getting to know her story and how she overcame so much with her dad, and how, if you remember, some of you may remember, I interviewed her, it was probably about 8 months ago or so, she ended up leading her dad to Christ right before he died. And if there was ever a J.R. Ewing kind of guy, that was her dad. Very, very successful, and but very, very independent, and nobody's going to tell me what to do, and that kind of thing. So an amazing story of how God saved her, and then God used her life and is using her life still to this day in such great ways to help so many people with difficulties, because she knows what it's like to hurt, because she's experienced that. And God never wastes a hurt. And when you've been through something, just know something that was very, very difficult for you, just know that God wants to use that and to use you to minister to somebody else that's going through that exact situation, because you know what it's like to be them. I still remember when I was first called into the ministry out of the business world, I mentioned to God when he called me, I said, Lord, I wish you had called me when I was in my early 20s when I was praying about this, because then I could have gone straight from college to seminary. I wouldn't have missed all those years. And I was about 10 years in the business world before God called me. And the advantage that I had was, as soon as I started preaching, the people in the pew said, Pastor Jeff knows what it's like to be me because he was me. He worked in the business world. He hasn't been college to seminary to the church where you can't relate as well to the person in the pew. I could relate very well to the person in the pew because I was the person in the pew for a long, long time. And so God uses our situations and experiences. He uses those and wants to use those to bless other people. Well, the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And we have Debbie on the line from Texas. Debbie, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Pastor Jeff. How are you?
Good. Well, I say good. I'm getting better, hopefully.
Yeah, I heard. It must be rough. Well, you're in my prayers. Okay, because that's no fun at all. I have just been going over in my mind, because this verse, love covers a multitude of sin, has been an inspiration to me to forgive people. Because, love will cover that. But then what separates the person who's a great forgiver, who has been forgiven much, I must say, from an enabler. So I would like to hear your take on that, because it's so, you know, where our compassion can get all tangled up in
right.
the forgiveness process, and then, you know, you find yourself 70 times 7, you know,
right.
you just keep forgiving someone, and then you don't know whether or not it's good for them for you to, you know, keep
right,
having
right, right.
that sort of attitude. But love does cover a multitude of sin, and that just rings so true to me. But I just wanted you to expound on that verse.
Yeah, well, the thing, so you have to forgive people that hurt you, because, and the Lord is really strong about this, forgiveness is not so much for the person, for the offender, it's for the offended, so that your heart doesn't get bitter. And that's why the Lord is strong, because he loves us, and he knows, hey, if you don't forgive, then he says in Matthew 6, I won't forgive you. And you have to forgive, because if you don't, it's like a cancer of the soul. It will just eat away. And God loves us, and he does not want to see us do that and to have that cancer inside. So that's why he says, and June has a great illustration of this. She said, forgiving someone doesn't take them off the hook. It takes them off your hook and puts them on God's hook. So that's critical. Now that's your heart toward that person, so that you're forgiving toward them, but you can't have no standards. So that's why forgiveness and reconciliation are not the same thing. And I do think some people, they confuse forgiveness with enablement. And forgiving somebody doesn't mean you keep enabling them to just keep doing the same pattern over and over and over and over. I know a lot of parents have trouble with being strong firm with their kids, especially as their kids get older. They just keep, well, yeah, you know, my son doesn't have a job. He's, you know, in his 20s. He plays video games all night. He sleeps all day and doesn't do anything. Well, that parent, if he really wants to help his child, and I don't pretend this is easy to do, but you have to set up some standards and some rules. These are the rules of the house. If you don't abide by them, you can't live here. And so I think you have to have those standards so you don't become an enabler, because an enabler doesn't help anybody, doesn't help the person, just allows the person to continue to be irresponsible. And that's not what God would want us to do. And so, you know, even with the Lord, there's a phrase I love, Debbie, that says, God will not do what you can do, and you cannot do what he can do. And so God has us do things that he doesn't do for us. So think about, you know, when they went into the promised land, they had to fight. They had to take the land. God gave it to them, but he gave it to them through their fighting. And so the Lord empowered them, but the Lord didn't do it for them. You know, David had to face off with Goliath. God didn't kill Goliath before David ever got on the battlefield. And so the Lord does things through us. He gives the victory through us, but we have to participate in that, and we have to do the things that we can do that God calls us to do in the power of the Holy Spirit, obviously, but we have to do it. So good example, John chapter 11, Jesus is going to raise Lazarus from the dead. He tells Martha, roll away the stone. Lord, she said, I don't want to do it. He stinks. He's 4 days. He stinks. Did I not say to you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Roll away the stone. Jesus wasn't going to roll away the stone. They had to do that, and they could do that. So God will not do what you can do, and you cannot do what he can do. We can't say Lazarus come forth, but we can roll away the stone. And so I think when it comes to a situation where it could be enabling, love does cover a multitude of sins, but that doesn't cover a multitude of consequences. And even when God forgives our sins, there are consequences associated with our sins. David sinned greatly. He had consequences. God forgave him, but he had consequences. The sword shall not depart from your family and from your life. And David had a difficult time after that. So there are consequences to those sins. And I think Debbie, in those situations, that there have to be clear cut, okay, this is acceptable behavior, this is unacceptable behavior, and if you keep on with the unacceptable behavior, there are going to be consequences to that, and you know, they're not going to be fun for anybody, but it has to be. A friend of mine, Charles Lowry, likes to say there's typically not a breakthrough till there's a breakdown. And there's not a breakdown until the consequences come and people see, hey, there are consequences for these actions, and I can't keep acting irresponsibly in this relationship and have no, bad experiences because of that. The bad experiences can bring about a change in heart. Is that helpful?
Love covers a multitude of sins. So how do we actually interpret that specifically? So it's kind of what I was going for too, you know, because I interpret it as meaning, love will cover it and I can forgive it. You know, if Jesus died for it, I can forgive it. And I, as many times as I'm like June, you know, I've had a lot of hurt in my life, you know?
Right.
I love that verse. Such a powerful verse.
Right. 1 Peter 4:8, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. I think that, you know, love allows us, even with a person that we had to have strong boundaries with, we can still love them. And it covers their sins in terms of we're not holding that against them. But, you know, that's letting them off your hook and putting them on God's hook. But they still they're going to still have to deal with that with the Lord. And that's why Romans chapter 12, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So that desire, that just natural desire, Debbie, that we all have to get even with those that hurt us, the love that covers that and takes that away, and we're able to not hold that against that person. We just give that person over to the Lord, and knowing that that person is going to have to deal with God. He is the one that all of us are going to have to stand before one day and give an account of our lives. So I think that's what that means. As we keep fervent in our love for one another, then we don't get bitterness in our heart. And that love will cover those sins, because people do sin against us. People do purposefully do things to try and hurt us. As bad as that is, that's just true. Some people do it on accident. Some people do it on purpose. But you don't go through life unscathed. Everyone is going to get hurt in life, and by family members, by people who want to do right by us, but sometimes it's a father who doesn't know how to be a father, a mother who doesn't know how to be a good mother, a sibling, somebody that should be an ally that ends up hurting us. How do we deal with that? Well, love does cover a multitude of sins. So that's how I would interpret that.
That can't forgive, and they have a grudge that they keep holding on to, because the greater the offense, it seems, the greater the peace I get.
Yes.
And I'm like, you're really getting yourself out of some great peace there. You know,
yes.
You don't need to keep on dragging that thing down the
right
road, you know.
Exactly right. Very good. Well, thank you, Debbie. Thank you for calling in. And I'm sorry we didn't get to you, but I appreciate you calling in. And thank you for listening to Real Truth for Today. And I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And hopefully I am on the mend. This is my first time back out among civilization. And so I look forward to getting better and stronger. So thank you for your prayers, and pray for those in the Texas Panhandle as they deal with the fires. You are listening to Real Truth for Today. Go out this day, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, knowing that God will use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.